This section is much easier. Much easier than the other ones that we've been discussing. Texts, what is it? 45, 46, 44, 45, 46, we covered yesterday, through 49, which ends this entire section. The realizations of Shukadev and Vyas, and then the application of those realizations to Shankaracharya's Mayavad teaching. We discussed that already. Then yesterday evening, the lighter subject was Abhideya and Prayojana, because all of that other topic was Sambandha. That is, in the realization of Vyas, he saw in his trance of meditation the relationship of Krishna with so many things. Sambandha. Relationship. And it didn't match. It does not match. It will never match what Shankaracharya said. This is what the Vedas say. So then, Abhideya Prayojana, the process of devotional service, Jiva Goswami said, it can be inferred, meaning it wasn't explicitly stated, but it can be understood by inference. And then, from texts 4 and 5 of chapter 7, and then text 6 said it explicitly, Anarto Pashamam Sakshad Bhakti Yogam Adhoksajay. So that's the Abhideya, the process of acting within one's relationship, the living entity and Purusha Purna, the Supreme. And then the goal is prema. So we're going to hear some more about the goal of prema and its effects. Very nice understanding. And beginning now with text 47, there we go, text 47, we're moving right along. Text number 7 of chapter 7. So we've done 4, 5, and 6, and now text number 7. Let us chant together. Hopefully, it's going to move. Not moving. What's broken here? Not moving. Another battery issue? Okay. Then best we change. Well, I'll just explain what the verse says, then we can come back and chant it together. He's describing, this is now Sutta describing the realization of Vyas. And the realization of Vyas is on the platform of Prema Bhakti. We heard that, it's going to be repeated multiple times, but we heard that in text 4. Krishne Paramapurushe, it says here, there was just Purusham Purnam. And we discussed this a again yesterday evening and going way back to text number 30, there's this stage of prema. There's the beginning stage of sadhana, and there's the perfect stage of prema. And in the perfect stage of prema, one can see Krishna. You can't see Krishna in the sadhana stage. You can see Krishna in the prema stage. So he saw Krishna, text 4, that was the prema stage. And therefore, he saw Krishna in his fullness. The original form of Krishna, along with Radharani in the whole of the spiritual world. Okay, so now we're ready for text 7. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam Krishne paramapuruṣe bhaktir upadyate pungsam shoka moha bhayapaha. And the translation is, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once. Takes a little while. At once means quickly. To extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Shokamoha bhaya paha. So we heard about this bhaya. Remember that one? Remember this lady? Very fearful. This was in relation to text 30.3, where Jiva Goswami was elaborating on what Vyas realization was, and also the effect of Maya, stage of prema. Maya is behind Krishna. That's how you can see Krishna, because Maya is between you and Krishna. You can only see Maya. Krishna's behind, covered by Maya. But in the prema stage, Maya moves. Krishna says, Maya, you can move now. This is my pure devotee who has love for me. I want to show myself to them. Moved. If you remember that discussion, this from 32.3, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. This is review. But this verse describes the result of the jivas turning away from the Lord. And then conversely is this one, by facing the Lord or by becoming Dutriya Abhiniveshitak Syat Ishad Apetasha. I've been repeating this several times because it's a nice verse. It's very important. And this Ishad Apetasya means one who has turned away. You know, this delightful, goes on forever discussion about the jiva's fall from Krishna. In the language the Jiva Goswami chooses in Bhakti Sandarbha, it's Bahir Mukha Jeev, just like we sing in Nisringa prayers. Bahir Nisringo Hridaye Nisringo. He's in the heart and he's Bahir, outside. He's everywhere, just like Prahlad said to Lord Nrisimhadeva, to Hiranyakashipu, where is Vishnu? He's everywhere. Bahir, Bahir, everywhere. So, Bahir Mukha is turn your face away from Krishna, living entity that, so Ishad Apetasya. What's the consequence of turning away from Krishna? Well, fear. Bhayam. And instead of affinity for Krishna, we have then affinity for something else. Dvitiya. Something else, other than Krishna. The second thing. There's no, it's just Maya. affinity for Maya. So the reference in 177, again, is on the prema stage. Then fear. What did it say? Shoka, moha, and bhaya. Lamentation, illusion, and fear. Shoka? Sad. Unhappiness. Gone, not diminished. Not mitigated. Remember that word, mitigated. That was the sadhana stages where miseries are mitigated. In the prema stage, they're gone. Shoka. Moha. You know, being covered by maya. Illusion. Causing moha. It's gone. Because Maya is now behind Krishna instead of in the way. So lamentation, illusion, and fear. One who is seeing Krishna, there can be something that looks dangerous. Here comes Aristasura. Krishna! And everything's nice. And the stage of prema. Although it doesn't mean there isn't, you know, some challenging circumstance of life, but one is fearless, like Prahlad, etc., Ambarish Maharaj, fearless. That's the prema stage. So, commentary, to elucidate again, what was in text 4, same as in text 6. Now here it's the complete Purusha is being seen in this stage of prema. And then Jiva Goswami says, part of the realization, because the topic here is the realization of Vyas, what did he realize in regards to Krishna Tattva? Well, benefits from being situated in prema. Not by studying Vedanta Sutra and developing knowledge or gyan, and then gyan removes again, and then you realize you're Brahman. Not that one. Engage in devotional service, that's the process. And the fruit of that process is love for Krishna. And the fruit of that love for Krishna is illusion's gone. Fearfulness is gone. Lamentation is gone. You know, material miseries, they're not diminished, they're gone. What's life, what would life be like without material miseries? That's spiritual life. Instead, we struggle. Very hard. 7:14 again, referred to yesterday. Mama Maya Duratyaya, Duratyaya. Very difficult struggle. That's material life. And the prema stage is no struggle. What's life like with no struggle? Well, we submit ourselves to Krishna. And there's not something holding you back from submitting yourself to Krishna, but there are circumstances that Krishna arranges that intensify the emotion that may look like a struggle. But it's not. It's intensification of love. It's a profound mystery, but that's the prema stage. So here's some more of Vyasa's realizations. Unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the true purpose of the soul's existence. Prema Bhakti eclipses the importance of liberation, as we know from Shukadev. Now we're also hearing from Vyas. Their realizations match. What their hearts are the same. And ignores the attractions of material success. Attachment for the cage. You know this little story. The lady so busy polishing the cage, she forgets the bird inside. The bird croaks. Because the purpose of the cage is for the bird. Same. The purpose of this body is for the soul, on the one hand, to try for sense gratification, but the real higher purpose is to achieve self-realization. So we need to attend to the requirements of the soul, not just the requirements of the body. We attend to the requirements of the body as much as needed and maximize attention to the needs of the soul. So there's a decreased interest, not a callousness necessarily. This one's an avaduta, but just as necessary, that's all. As necessary, using Prabhupada's phrase to keep body and soul together. So that we can use the body for its intended purpose. Self-realization. God-realization. Serving Krishna. Using the senses to serve the master of the senses. So we maintain the body carefully. Not doting on it, but as needed so we can effectively do our service. Without attachment. And the attraction for mundane knowledge. In this world, it's revered, not just presently. Since time began, people regard as one of the opulences of Bhagavan, knowledge. So people like it. And it's considered something you're supposed to get your children to work really hard to get more of. So they can be successful. So they can have a good job. So they can have nice living and sense gratification. For the wrong reasons. Instead of mundane knowledge, as shown in the picture, it's knowledge of devotion to Krishna. That we're very much eager for. Practical things also, as necessary. Then, although Lord Narayana in Vaikuntha and the many incarnations of Lord Vishnu are also objects of pure devotion, the higher aspects of Prema Bhakti center around the loving exchanges shared by Krishna and his devotees in the most intimate abode, Sri Vrindavan. So this is his methodology. He's making a declaration. Now he's going to give us a nice scriptural reference. This case, it's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it said, among the various kinds of unalloyed devotees of the Lord, the best are those whose hearts have been captivated by Lord Govinda. Indeed, such devotees have no attraction or desire even for the favor of Lord Narayana, the husband of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. This is Rupa Goswami, and we find Sanatana Goswami saying the same thing with Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Gopakumar goes to Vaikuntha. He's attracted to Narayana, but it's not the same. The sweetness of Gopal, because his mantra is a Gopal mantra. It's not the same. So he keeps going till he reaches Goloka. And Rupa and Sanatana teach like that because Lord Chaitanya taught like that. And Lord Chaitanya taught like that because that's what the teaching of the Bhagavatam is. And that was the appreciation simile of Shukadeva Goswami. There's symmetry in all of this. This is weaving throughout all of these different things. I'm pointing it out again and again because Jiva Goswami is doing it. And it's not accidental, it's intentional. Again, his audience is super scholarly people. It's not, you know, a book for distribution on Harinam Sankirtan. It's not an introductory literature. You know, like that very nice magazine that they prepared for ISKCON 50. That's introductory literature. This is not introductory literature. It's for a very highly sophisticated, educated person so they can have the proper clarity about what Srimad Bhagavatam's message is. Okay. So, now 47.2. The goal is Krishna. And the goal of Krishna can be reached by love for Krishna, so that's the goal. Then there's certain effects when you reach the goal, so that's what this verse is describing. Jiva Goswami is saying, in this case, in this particular verse, 7, the word bhakti refers to love of God or Krishna prema. Why does he say that? Because that's the goal achieved through the execution of devotional practice of hearing. Remember the previous verse was he compiled this literature because people don't know what the goal is. And then people can reach the goal by hearing this literature. And by following the process of hearing this literature, there's this nice word, upadyate, which literally means is generated, but it doesn't mean from nothing it's generated, rather it's manifest, like, you know, from the seed to the mature stage, the fruits and flowers that mature from the seed. And the watering process is hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam that Vyas composed so people could come to that stage. And again, the manifestation of that mature stage is Shokamoha Bhaya Paha. It destroys, Jiva Goswami says, there's not even any subtle remnants left. Those of you that are familiar with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Madhurya Kandambani and the stages of progress in spiritual life. And it's only at the stage of prema that it's not just diminished, like this word mitigated, but or almost gone. That's the nishtha stage. In the prema stage, there's not even a trace. And he's making this statement and following his methodology, gives a script, says, Canto 5. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudev, who is none other than myself, he certainly is not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. So this word upadyate means is generated. The internal potency, contact with the internal potency means contact with Radharani or the process of devotional service. It's by that she's merciful. And we want her mercy and she's happy to give her mercy and her mercy is manifest by this arising or awakening of the stage of love as she has, we can receive from her. I like this very much. This is a painting of Rishabdev instructing his 100 sons, headed by Bharat Maharaj. And he's explaining this very same point. We refer to it 5.5.6. And that's the seed of lamentation, illusion, and fear. It's deeply rooted in bodily attachment. So as long as there's bodily, say it reverse, as long as there's bodily attachment, These other things are going to be there. We'll be illusioned. We'll be fearful. We'll lament. We'll feel sad. We'll feel all those undesirable emotions deeply rooted in bodily attachment. And that's not going to be gone. It can be diminished, but it's not going to be gone until the stage of prema is reached. That's what Jiva Goswami wants us to understand, which is in the verse 7. Rishabhdev says the same thing. He's reconfirming. This is the stage of prema that's being spoken of in this verse. And attachment at the very root to thinking of the self as the body, which is maya, then maya is completely gone. Which is, you know, circling back around, text 4. Mayam cha tadapashrayam. Yes? Where maya is behind the Supreme Lord, so we can... And what was Vyasadeva's wish, what's in his heart? He wants that others come to this prema stage by hearing the topics of Krishna, which he did for the benefit of Shukadeva, which if we also follow properly, we'll come to that stage. That's the Prayojana. Very nice. Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Come to the stage of prema by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. I like this illustration. This is a painting that was commissioned. It's a black and white, but it was in color. Commissioned by the king, Prataparudra. Those of you that know Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prataparudra was the king who was the whole state, which was much bigger than the state of Orissa today, and extended down to Madras or Chennai, because the governor, Ramananda Roy, was under the rule of the king. So the state was a bigger state at that time. And he was a pure devotee. So he commissioned Tanya and his associates. And what are they doing? They're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And they're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And all of them. This is Lord Chaitanya. This is Lord Nityananda. Ramananda Roy. Swarup Damodar. And Lord Chaitanya's associates, Haridas Thakur, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Rupa and Sanatan, they're all hearing Srimad Bhagavatam to achieve the stage of perfection and at the stage of perfection. The Srimad Bhagavatam is literature for Paramahansas and for Janata Agha, sinful people, and everybody in between. It's such a literature. And it the sound vibration can carry you to the prema stage, and in the prema stage, one is also interested in hearing it and also speaking it, as Shukadeva Goswami is doing here. We saw this picture before during that text 29 presentation. Almost done. It's going to be a short class this morning, compared to the other ones anyways. So, Krishna is the form, the Purusha Purna from text 4. Krishna is that form. So, because text 4 and text 7 are saying the same thing, now it's being explicit. Krishna Parama Purushe. So, in this verse, text 7, the word Parama Purushe for the Supreme Person refers to the same Purna Purusha from text 4. What is that form? What did he see? What's the message of the Bhagavatam? According to Sutta Goswami, says it's the form of Krishna. In other words, for those whose hearts are enriched with thousands of scriptural statements, such as the Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavatam, we discussed this yesterday, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, and other nights. And for those who are attracted to his glories and fame by hearing through a bona fide disciplic succession, as soon as they hear his name, their minds are filled with his presence. Little reference that I like very much is from Kapila Dev's Devahuti asks a question at the beginning of chapter 29 of Canto 3. Her question is, bhakti is pure. However, not everybody that performs bhakti is in pure consciousness. Is it possible that consciousness can be contaminated by the modes of nature and you still perform devotional service, which is pure? The answer is yes. Here's the description of devotional service performed when one is consciousness is influenced by ignorance. Devotional service performed when one's consciousness is influenced by passion. And then goodness. Then nobody describes transcendental devotional service that's unmixed with the modes of nature. It's like this that's in these big letters. He says, where one simply hears to Krishna, like the Ganges flows downstream during rainy season. You don't have to tell the Ganges, okay, it's rainy season now, you can flow downstream very nicely. Similarly, the mind of one who is situated in prema, it's not like us. Okay, mind, come back to the name. Mind, please be cooperate. Just stay with the name, please. And we try to discipline the mind in various ways because it gets distracted. And so in the prema stage, there's no distraction. One just hears the name, Krishna. And the mind is there. A very nice example of this from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, or Chaitanya Charitamrita. The spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit was who? Pundarik Vidyaniti, yes. Pundarik Vidyaniti previously lived at some distant place, now in Bangladesh, and Mukunda lived in the same place, so he knew him from before, and then he came to be where Lord Chaitanya was. So Mukunda told his classmate and dear friend, Gadadhar Pandit, there's this wonderful sadhu. I'd like you to meet him. So Gadadhar trusted Mukunda, a wonderful sadhu, let's go. And when they went to the place of Pundarik Vidyaniti, Gadadhar Pandit was shocked, because Gadadhar Pandit was totally renounced. And here's this Pundarik Vidyaniti looking like a disgusting sense gratifier, lying on a stretched out on a couch, made with fine white silk, and people fanning him with chamaras and different drinks of different kinds, perfumes. Yuck. He didn't say yuck, but that was his mind. Because they were very close friends, Mukunda could understand the mind of his friend. So what did Mukunda do? He was very good at singing. So he started singing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. A verse describing Krishna. Pundarik Vidyaniti went into a trance. his whole body started trembling, and he fell out of that nice seat onto the floor, and the tray with all the drinks went splashing all over the place, and he's rolling on the floor, and Mukunda's continuing to sing verses from the Bhagavatam, and he's in this stage of ecstatic love for Krishna, just hearing shlokas like we hear all the time. But he was in the prema stage. Gadadhar then could understand, what is the platform of this person that my dear friend Mukunda wanted me to come and hear and see? Mukunda stopped singing. In course of time, Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to his external, normal consciousness. And Gadadhar fell at his feet and said, I made a mental offense. I thought you were like that. Instead, you're like this. And I'd like to have you forgive me, but I don't know what's the appropriate way to ask for that forgiveness. So could you please give me initiation? Could you become my Diksha Guru? Just like that. Pundarik smiled and said, on an auspicious day we can do. And became his disciple. Gadadhar Pandit became a disciple of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was on such a stage of Krishna consciousness. I'm going to tell one, because we have just taking one verse this morning, so I can do a little embellishment. We don't have to run across the finish line this morning. Another very nice example is in the life of Haridas Thakur. We all know Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur, one time, this is in Puliya, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he was walking along, chanting as he always does, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And over some distance, there was a snake charmer, a Muslim snake charmer, who knew how to play some musical instrument, and a cobra would dance according to the music. And then the Muslim snake charmer spoke some verses from the Bhagavatam about Kaliya, Krishna, and Krishna's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya's serpent. Hearing those verses describing Kaliya, Krishna, Haridas Thakur did the same thing that Pundarik Vidyanidhi did. He was drawn by that sound vibration and started dancing in ecstasy and rolling on the ground. And there was a whole crowd of people that they lost the attraction to the cobra and became fascinated by Haridas Thakur. There was a brahmana, at least by birth, brahmana, in the audience. And he was envious. This Muslim Haridas is being honored by everybody. They should honor me. I'm a brahmana, not a low-class Muslim. And so he started imitating the behavior of Haridas, rolling on the ground, this and that. And the snake charmer took a stick and started beating him. Get out of here. And so the crowd said, you know, why did you honor Haridas and you started beating the brahmana? He said, because the brahmana was just pretending. He was imitating the exalted Haridas. You can't imitate this behavior. It's Haridas is a genuine sadhu and this other person is not. But imitating one who is offensive. So I beat him. Told him, get out of here. And the third example, you heard already. Actually, you heard it already twice. And that's when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his talks with Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares. Prakashananda Saraswati was asking, why do you carry on like this? You're a sannyasi. Sannyasis are supposed to be, you know, control their senses and not associate with worldly people, but, you know, be strict about who you associate with. And you're with these worldly people and singing and dancing and partying. Like, you know, this isn't what sannyasis do. Why are you doing this? You should be studying Vedanta Sutra and chanting Om and be sense controlled. So Lord Chaitanya said, my spiritual master told me, you're a fool. You don't have the capacity to understand Vedanta Sutra. You should just chant Hare Krishna. So I just chant Hare Krishna. But then when I started chanting Hare Krishna, something happened. These symptoms of ecstasy started erupting. And so it's not something to be imitated. It's something that springs from the heart. In the mature soul, to embellish this, as soon as they hear his name, their minds are filled with his presence. As soon as such persons chant the first syllable of his name while uttering his mantra, the Lord's attention is also drawn to the chanter. And you see, there's in your handout booklet, page 7, is the scriptural reference, Canto 6, Chapter 2, where Shukadev Goswami says this. Krishna, it's nice, more than nice. Krishna becomes attracted when you just say the first syllable of his name. And the verse even says, even if one is sinful, Krishna is attracted. What to speak of if one is in the stage of prema? You don't have to control the mind. The mind just goes. That's prema. Do you want to know if you're at the prema stage yet or not? That's one way to tell. Mind just goes. Jiva goes on to say, that's the form denoted by the word Krishna in this verse 177. This is confirmed by the author of Nama Komadi, which is the conventional meaning of the name Krishna. Meanings is one who is black like a tamal tree and he who is breastfed by Sri Yashoda. And the Supreme Brahman. Very nice. Very nice. This is, so now a little, pardon the technical next step, but there's conventional meanings of names and there's grammatical meanings of names. We'll touch on that. So, a nice illustration. Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda, along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for those whose hearts are enriched with thousands of scriptural statements and who are attracted to his glories and fame by hearing, as soon as they hear his name, their minds are filled with his presence. So, filled with his presence, the reference is shown here, chapter 2 of Canto 6. The full text is in your handout. The verse says, when the word Krishna is uttered in a mantra, this sound attracts the attention of Lord Krishna himself the very moment the first syllable is vibrated. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary, from chanting the name of the Lord, the Lord's mind dwells on that person who chants. Tat Vishaya Mati. Tat Vishaya Mati. Tat means the person who's doing the chanting. The person who's doing the chanting becomes the object of Krishna's Matihi. Krishna's mind dwells on that person. When we have Vikirtan, Krishna must be really busy, you know, paying attention to so many people. But for him, it's not a problem. Don't worry. We're not bothering him. It's an exchange of love. maybe in the very simple elementary beginning stages of love, but it's the beginning of love. Vishwanath says, this person, the Lord thinks, this person belongs to me. I will always protect him. This is Sridhar Swami's meaning of the phrase, tad vishayamati. So Vishwanath, like Jiva, follows the commentary of Sridhar Swami. Now remember, I'm sure you remember, there was some objection to Sridhar Swami's commentary by Ballabha. There's Ballabha, and he was objecting. He made mistakes in his commentary. I have a better commentary. Can you please listen? Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to listen to somebody who says their commentary is better than Sridhar Swami. One who disrespects the Swami is a prostitute. So in another exchange from the same chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Leela chapter 7, Ballabha approached Lord Chaitanya saying something else. He said, I have some very nice meanings of Krishna. You know, the grammatical kind instead of the conventional kind. This meaning, that meaning, the other meaning. I'm a scholar. Would you like to hear my meanings of the name Krishna? Mahaprabhu said, I do not accept many different meanings for the holy name of Krishna. I only know that Lord Krishna is Shama Sundara and Yashoda Nandana. That's all I know. I'm not interested in fancy, grammatical, this and that. I'm only interested in Krishna, thank you. And to me, just like the Kaumudi dictionary says, it's these three things. What are the three things? There. The name of Krishna, conventional meanings of the name Krishna are one who is black like a tamal tree, so Shyamasundara, black like a tamal tree, he who is breastfed by Sri Yashoda, and the Supreme Brahman, which confirms, by the way, text 4 and text 7, which says, what was the realization of Vyas? He realized Krishna in the conventional sense of Krishna was the Supreme Brahman, Parama Purusha, or Purusha Purnam, Krishna. So I'm going to now read from the commentary. Those of you that have books, you can read along if you like. Text 47.3. We're almost done for this morning. Yeah. So the bottom of page 183. According to traditional Sanskrit linguistics, a conventional name is a name whose meaning is not grammatically derived, but simply accepted. Those are two types of meanings of names, grammatical meaning and just commonly used conventional. Lakshmidhar Pandit, in his Bhagavan Nama Komadi, cited by Lord Chaitanya himself as authoritative, gives the opinion that Krishna is such a conventional name. There is no need to look for its esoteric derivation or mystic significance, because it simply refers to the son of Mother Yashoda. And if any confusion remains because the name Yashoda is common in India, Sri Lakshmidhar further spells out that this Krishna, son of Yashoda, happens to be the Supreme Absolute Truth, not some other one whose mother's name is Yashoda and the son's name is Krishna, just in case there's a little confusion. Baladeva Vidyabhusan makes an additional comment in his commentary on this verse, because he wrote a commentary on Tattvasandarbha. He refers to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, where the syllable Krish means existence, and the syllable Na means bliss, as in Ananda. The combination of these two is Krish Na, the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a derived meaning in one sense, but it's not in the other sense. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So people will sometimes ask you, what's the meaning? So we say, all-attractive, because that's what Prabhupada said. Krishna means the all-attractive. He has six opulences in full, that's Bhagavan, and each one of them is attractive, and he has all of that in full, so he's Krishna, all attractive. So you can also say this, because it's Gopal Tapani Upanishad, authorized. Krishna. Then, in this way, both the conventional and the derived meanings of the name Krishna are the same. What's that? Two-handed cowherd boy, who is the son of Mother Yashoda, and also the Supreme Godhead. So the conventional meaning is what Gopal Tapani Upanishad also says. Since Vyasadeva saw this particular Krishna in his trance, the ultimate goal of life prayojana must be to attain love for Krishna. He's such a scholar, but at the same time, it's so sweet. So here's some images and we'll end our discussion. Yashoda Nandana. Those of you that are familiar with Harinam Chintamani, spoken by Haridas Thakur to Lord Chaitanya. Haridas Thakur says there's primary names and secondary names. Secondary names refer to the post. Ishwara, Purushottama, the position of being God. And then the primary names describe Krishna in his relationships with his devotees. And the primary names awaken love, promote liberation. A little bit like this question that we discussed, that Paramrupa was asking, the difference between the Purusha Purna can mean super soul, or it can mean, depending upon the context, Bhagavan, the feature of Krishna in Goloka. So, in short, love of God, Krishna in Goloka, that's the Bhagavatam's message, that's what the message of the Bhagavatam is, this pramana, this most perfect evidence or source of valid knowledge about the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original feature, in Goloka. Realization, that Shukadeva's realization, is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. He's like a lawyer proving his case. And as the judges are these educated puffy-wuffies that really aren't necessarily devotees of Krishna, but he's making his case before these sadhus or learned personalities. So there's Shyamasundara. Krishna black is like a tamal tree. Of course, Shyamasundara isn't alone. He's always with his beloved Srimati Radharani. And he has other relationships with his cowherd boyfriends and the cows, Gopal. And each of these names, but just like Gopal, is the mantra that Gopakumar was chanting, that he received from Jana Sharma, his Gopal mantra. And we also, in ISKCON, when we receive second initiation, we receive that Gopal mantra. And that Gopal mantra has the potential to carry us to Krishna Loka. It's a primary name. Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra has also. But you add these two together, combine these two together in ways I'm not going to spend some time right now discussing. It's meant to carry us, along with hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, to the position of love for Krishna, the stage of perfection, and enter into Krishna's pastimes eternally. That's, get on the train, that's where it takes you. All aboard. Pulling out of the station, come on up. And what's the cost of the ticket to get on board? Faith. According to Bhaktivinod Thakur, one wonderful song in his many wonderful songs is describing Lord Chaitanya authorized Lord Nityananda to go in, to set up in the marketplace of the holy name. You know, the spiritual marketplace. And he called it Namahatta. It was one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's programs, was the Namahatta program. He put Lord Nityananda in charge, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, and said, you can establish franchises. There's a Bengali word that means franchise. Mahaprabhu owned the business. And he gave a franchise to Lord Nityananda. And he had to follow the rules of the franchise. And the rule was, you can give the pure holy name, but you have to charge a fair price. You can't just give it away. You have to charge a fair price. And the fair price, faith. And with faith, they can have the pure holy name. And you have the pure holy name. You're back home, back to Godhead. At once. So how much faith? How much willingness is there to inconvenience yourself in order to follow your faith? As I mentioned at the very beginning, each of us sadhakas, practicing sadhana bhakti, we have some conviction there's a higher reality. And we're drawn towards this higher reality as given by Srimad Bhagavatam. Are we at the end of this life going to reach Krishna? Or, as we heard, if not, we don't come to the stage of prema, then it's another birth and another birth, because there's still some affinity for the temporary body. And the hope of enjoying through the medium of the senses, the objects of the senses. Hope. But instead, if this prema stage comes, then that's destroyed completely. And then our activities become service instead of opportunities for enjoyment of the senses. It's a very different life. It may look the same from the outside. It's very different from the inside. And then what you experience and what those who are you're connected with in your relationships with family and friends and whatever, people at work, people in the marketplace, wherever you go and whatever you do, the exchange is altogether of a different quality for them and for you. That's Lord Chaitanya's gift. And there are those that wish to assist him, starting with Rupa and Sanatan, then Gopal Bhatta, then Jiva Goswami. And here we are, trying to receive their gift, the gift of Lord Chaitanya, the gift of Krishna Prema, in this very mood. It starts with mantra, but then we need to nourish that mantra with, according to Haridas Thakur, in Harinam Chintamani, it must be nourished by proper sambandha gyan. So that's what we're doing, so that we can get to that stage of Krishna Prema. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not academic at all. There, you use your intelligence, yes, but the fruit will come if you receive from the heart and enter into the subject matter in that way. Then it can bear its fruit. Proper chanting, proper hearing. We become attached to Krishna. We become attached to Krishna. Other things, the importance of them diminish. Certainly in terms of sense gratification, you may very carefully execute whatever it is that you do in service to Krishna because it's service to Krishna. Whether it's family or work or career or social or whatever it is. You do for Krishna because of attachment to Krishna. That's our life as devotees. And it may take this shape, that shape, the other shape, that's all fine. Diversity is fine. What's at the core of the heart is what's really important. And this hearing process is the way to nourish the bhakti that's at the core of the heart. Okay, any discussion or questions here? Here comes the microphone. Put your hand up again, please. Isn't this a nice subject? It's a little involved, but it's a nice subject. Go ahead.
Maharaj, you were mentioning
not
about...
Not so loud, please.
Maharaj, you were mentioning about a brahmana trying to imitate Haridas Thakur.
Yeah.
And he got beaten up by a snake charmer. Like, he started beating him with a stick.
Yeah.
Is that sinful?
Is that sinful?
Yeah.
Well, it's offensive. Offense and sin are not the same. It's offensive. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Next.
Guru Maharaj, in the past when I have at least heard and read this particular verse about Yasyam Vai Shurya Mananam, it's more, it felt like it was talking about hearing, which means like we should be hearing about Krishna. Through lectures and regular hearing process. It seems like in this section, the whole attention shifted to actually chanting. Like hearing, as soon as you hear the name of Krishna, the heart is drawn towards it, and then we're giving reference to the section where the chanting of the holy name is glorified. So, does that mean that when we hear about the process of hearing, that automatically refers to the chanting and basically hearing through the chanting process?
I'm not clear what you're asking. Are you asking, does the hearing refer just to kirtan, or does it hearing refer to kirtan and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Is that your question?
So in this particular...
Is that yes or no to that?
Not exactly.
Not exactly, okay.
So in this particular context, Srila Vyasadeva's realization is pointing to the fact that just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the lamentation, fear, and illusion would be dissipated. Now, is that hearing part of hearing during the chanting process, or is it part of our regular hearing of Krishna Katha? Because the whole discussion seemed to be talking about...
I don't understand your question. Does anybody else understand his question? Yeah, Raghunandan? It's not like he can't explain himself, but...
It appears like he's talking about smaranam. Is it about smaranam or is it about referring to the actual chanting of the Krishna's name that leads to that?
Question? That's not his question. Try again. Part take three.
So hearing and chanting are the core activities of devotional service.
Yes.
And when we talk about hearing, at least in this context, does it refer to actually chanting the holy name? Because that's what it seems like when we are discussing.
Let's do that again. Does hearing refer to chanting? Well, when you're chanting, you're hearing, and when you're you could have your mouth shut and you can just hear others chant, or mouth shut and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then it's hearing. But then that hearing is the beginning of then chanting, like call and response, or we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we share the message of Bhagavatam with others, or Bhagavad Gita, and we share it with others, and it's one flows into the next one. Hearing done properly results in chanting. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
They're spoken of as two different parts of the ninefold process of bhakti, but they're naturally connected. Hearing results in chanting, naturally, as part of the process. I mean, even it can do so prescribed, just like when we engage people in chanting that never chanted before. You know, the common way it's done these days in ISKCON is the person that's leading says, this is done in the call and response fashion. That's like, the slogan that is used these days. Call, so that means you listen and I'll say, then you say and I'll listen, call and response. But that's, it's built right in the very beginning. There's the hearing and then the chanting. It's right at the very beginning. By practice, by sadhana. But then in the mature stage, it also results in the same, just more mature stage of that. So what we have heard, we share with others. When we speak about Krishna or give a class or distribute books or meet people, it's things like that. It's just they're intimately connected. Mm-hmm. So if what you're asking is, are they really separate? Well, they're not really separate, but they're separate. I mean, they're in different categories because it's a different function, but they're connected intimately. Does that hit the target?
Almost. Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Almost.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Do you want to try again?
No, I understand the points. It's just that in this section when discussing this particular verse, I would have expected the discussion shifting to more how the hearing process is glorified, but it inevitably kind of led to glorifying the chanting process, and that's what I was...
It's implicit. It's implied. If you're chanting nicely, you've heard nicely. Conversely, if you haven't heard nicely, you're not going to chant nicely. Mm-hmm. It'll be mechanical at best. Mm-hmm. So it's implied. So the chanting process is glorified. Implied is the hearing process precedes it. Does that hit the target?
It's
closer.
I have one more question.
Okay.
In Nectar of Devotion, when we hear the out of the six characteristics of devotional service, the first two, the Kleshagni and Shubhada.
Yes.
Being the characteristics of pure, of sadhana bhakti stage.
For those persons that don't know what he just said, in chapter 1 of Nectar of Devotion, the title is Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service, and the first two are Shubha Da awakens auspiciousness, and Kleshagni, it eradicates misery. And those correspond with the practice stage or sadhana stage of bhakti. Go ahead.
So should we understand that Kleshagni essentially refers to mitigation of miseries rather than...
Mitigation, diminishing.
Instead of really eradication of...
That's in the prema stage. In other words, what happens, you know, characteristic number one and two continue over three and four and become perfect in five and six. Mm-hmm. So the sadhana stage begins it. It becomes more mature in the bhava stage and perfect in the prema stage. Does that answer your question?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Shravan, go ahead.
Guru Maharaj, the point you mentioned in ISKCON, the Brahman initiation receives the mantras. One is Yashodanandana and Shamsundar and Gopal.
I didn't say all of that.
Please rectify me.
What I said was that Gopa Kumar received Gopal Mantra. And in ISKCON, we also received the Gopal Mantra. That's what I said. It's a particular Gayatri Mantra called Gopal Mantra, or Gopal Gayatri. We receive it also. That's what I said.
So my question is there only one mantra or multiple mantras?
You have to wait and find out. Raghunanda?
From Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava talking to Vidura, Aho Bhakyam, where Krishna's merciful nature of ignoring all the faults and just picking the little good things that we do.
Yes.
And today, like the Vishnu Dutas, we're talking about Krishna paying attention to...
the fact that Ajamila just said Narayana.
So...
Same, exact same.
So it brings out the most merciful and compassionate nature of Krishna, even though like the practitioner might not be in the stage of chanting Krishna's name perfectly, but still Krishna's attention is drawn towards that practitioner.
That's nice. Now you're repeating yourself. You're just saying, isn't that nice? Is that what your message is?
And
yes, it's very nice.
And I was appreciating the fact that, yes, I do not have Prema Bhakti manifest in my heart.
We're really dull, in fact.
And it gives me confidence that even though I might not be at that stage, it gives me inspiration to move forward towards that goal.
Well, that's exactly what you just said is exactly what Jiva Goswami said last night by saying the Prayojana is inferred because of these wonderful qualities of Krishna, one of which you just mentioned. And therefore, he is worthy. He is the goal. Love him.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah. Up front? Oh, behind you. Right behind you. Back there.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, maybe you said that earlier. Can you please give examples of impersonalists living in this age?
Living where?
Living in this age.
In this age?
Yes.
Impersonalists living in this age?
Yes, Maharaj.
I said that?
No, I mean just asking it. You know, is there any examples that, you know...
In previous ages, there were impersonalists, of course.
No, you cited about Shankaracharya and his followers, but I'm asking about the current years and stuff.
The current?
Current year. I mean,
current
like,
year?
Yes.
Like 2016? Wait, What's your question?
I want to understand how to identify any impersonalists.
How do you do what? Deal with them?
Identify.
Identify.
Impersonalists.
Pretty much everybody. And that's what Prana Mantra of Prabhupada says. The Western countries are filled with it. then, you know, it's not just necessarily classic where they do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. You know, that's rare. Mm. But otherwise, Phil, we gave examples. You show the form of Krishna and they say, no. Yes. Why no? He can't look like that. Yes, he can look like that. Not only can he look like that, that's what he looks like. That's his original form. Then also, he can show many other forms. No. It's impersonal. You're limiting, neutering the all-powerful. They say, almighty, and then you hear some of his mightiest. No. It's impersonal. It's nominal personalism, but in fact, it's impersonal. It's not, you know, 100%. It's not Shankaracharya 100%. But it's, in the direction of impersonal. Minimizing the personal nature of having form, having qualities, having pastimes, having a deity form. And they'll say, we just heard it 3 days ago, right here in the temple room. You can't do that. Why you can't do that? It's impersonal. You can't do that. Well, excuse me, but you please don't limit God, because he's all powerful. And he can appear, according to revealed scriptures, in so many ways, and this is one of them according to revealed scripture. Now, idols is something else. Scripture says, Vedic scripture says, don't worship idols. There's a difference between idol, and so, you know, it arises from impersonalism. He can't do that. You know, it's dull, lazy, and impersonal. It's sad. But, you know, and it's, a lot of it has to do with association. You associate with dull, impersonal people, you become dull and impersonal. You associate with those that are lovers of Krishna, and you become lover of Krishna. And it's no longer, you can't do that. It's how wonderful is my Krishna. But not, you know, like a mindless zombie that says, oh, Krishna, you know, anything. But on the authority of scripture. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Up front, could you bring the microphone up way in the front over here? I thought we'd have a short class this morning, but we're going our full time.
Guru Maharaj, if I understood correctly, you said that when one's trying to submit to Krishna, he may arrange circumstances to that may look like a struggle, but it's actually intensification of love.
That's from Krishna's side. And then how you see that circumstance depends upon your consciousness and your relationship with Krishna consciousness. How you'll see that circumstance. Yes? So what to do?
Yes.
Become Krishna conscious. Don't appeal to Krishna. Take away the circumstance. You appeal to Krishna. Make my connection with you stronger. The circumstance has that potential. Let me meet the potential with the call for Krishna and strengthening the relationship. Then the shelter is there. The misery feature of the circumstance subsides and the intimacy with Krishna rises. And then Krishna gives the intelligence and the strength how to deal with the circumstance wisely in such a way that you can come to him. the weakness of Krishna consciousness is I see the circumstance and you know, want to go and hide. Put my head under the pillow or something. So then it's a choice that we make, and so we surround ourselves as much as we can with persons that have faith in Krishna, love for Krishna, attachment to Krishna, and in their association we can take our head out from underneath the pillow and look at Krishna and the relationship between us and Krishna. Not just, you know, worry about the circumstance. Then Krishna can give us intelligence how to deal with the and strength how to deal with the circumstance. As best we can, according to our capacity and position. The main thing is stay connected, whatever the circumstance. That's exactly Lord Brahma's prayer in this very famous one, Tat Te Dukkampam Su Samikshamano. Probably one of your favorites. Very important verse. Yes.
A similar kind of a question, Guru.
Same
Maharaj.
Question. Similar.
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 I'm not sure if I'm able to verbalize properly, but I wanted to just ask. When we saw about the whole bhayam, everything comes when ishadapetasya, like when one turns away from Krishna. And I sometimes feel that these other things are so much dominating that even if I remember Krishna, it is so apathetic kind of a remembrance.
Well, you know, I used the word yesterday, complacency. And then, you know, even stronger is apathy. So, go the other direction. It's like, you know, that the pan scale is going way over here. So put something over here. And it's not artificial. It's totally natural. It's one of the things that's very important to learn about Krishna consciousness. It's natural. It's the healthy condition of the soul. It's one of the things, I'll just share this about book distribution. For people that are not accustomed to book distributions, like, we had this phrase, causeless unwillingness. When you, it's time to go out and distribute books, and there's this feeling that comes over you that says, oh my God. And it happens again and again and again and again. Causeless unwilling. But, by simply performing the activity, the realization gradually comes, it's actually perfectly natural. Perfectly natural in a transcendental sense. In the transcendental sense, in the spiritual world, we're not alone with Krishna, not just Krishna and me and nobody else. It's Krishna and me and so many loving devotees. So now here we are in the material world, and there's lots of people that aren't loving devotees, but it's completely natural to connect them with a loving relationship with Krishna. It's completely, so what do? Just like there's me and there's the devotees and everybody else, just I blank out. That's unnatural. What's natural is, Krishna wants them to be connected with Him, and I'm the instrument of Krishna, I help connect them with Him. It's completely natural. It's the healthy condition. So same in this example. You know, whether it's complacency or apathy, and you know, I'm feeling down, this, you know, the lower mode of nature. And then that's not natural. Over here is natural. So we go over to what's natural and invest over there. Really simple. It's not only simple to say, it's actually simple to do. We just need the willingness to do. Because who likes to wallow in misery? We like happiness, not wallowing in misery. So just go over on the happiness side. Or happiness, my happiness is Krishna's happiness, so I just invest in Krishna's happiness. And isn't it the realization of everybody that's honest, that if I seek my own happiness, I don't find it, and if I seek the happiness of Krishna, I find happiness. Because our constitutional position is servant. My happiness is being the servant. Misplaced is then the servant of something other than Krishna. Servant of dog. If it's, you know, a servant of country, servant of something. Just repose that tendency with Krishna. And serve Krishna. Then Krishna. And happiness comes. Just go over on that side of the pan scale. And that's the antidote for the illness. The apathy and complacency and lamentation and Maya. Don't be a servant of Maya. Say no to Maya. And say yes to Krishna. Such as I share with teenagers is declare war on Maya. They like that. But you can't declare war on Maya unless you declare love for Krishna. Because otherwise Maya's going to beat you up. But you have to declare war on Maya by saying yes to Krishna. Last question, then it's breakfast time.
During class, you mentioned that bhakti is pure, but consciousness can sometimes be contaminated.
Yes.
Due to being influenced by the modes of nature.
Yes.
And so let's say if one recognizes that predominantly they're in one mode, I mean not one mode, but some mode, and how do you go beyond that?
By sadhana. By conscious sadhana. As opposed to unconscious or mechanical sadhana. That is to say, you consciously bring your attention, you know, bring your consciousness or your attentiveness to Krishna while you're chanting, while you're hearing, while you're praying. You know, not the mechanical. Conscious. It carries you. It's we heard it. Remember that upadyate, where Radharani bestows upon one this awakening of attraction for Krishna. So it's the conscious effort. Radharani seeing that, she'll connect you. And the enamorment for Maya is dispelled by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, by the contact with the internal potency. So it's, you know, another way of saying the same thing, because it's the same thing. The prerequisite is sincerity, or the eagerness to be with Krishna. So it's weak. We have, you know, two pockets, the Krishna pocket and the me pocket. So, and that's our conditioning. We just keep investing in the Krishna side with faith that this will carry me beyond this position of weakness. It'll give me strength. And that's our mantra. Hari Rama, please give me the strength that I can carry out my service to you. You sincerely call like that and strength will come. That's you can say the price is faith, or the price is sincerity, the price is conscious sadhana. You know, so conscious means there's some faith. And then we cultivate that. That's then bhakti grows. And the other is dispelled. The Maya is has no standing anymore. She's over there, you know, trying to get your attention. In one lecture, I'll end with this, Prabhupada was saying, Maya is calling. Come and enjoy me. come and enjoy me so I can kick you in the face. And the devotee says, no, thank you. I only want Krishna. So that takes some conviction in your relationship with Krishna. And it takes some strength to say no to Maya, because otherwise there's some allure. And Maya knows exactly what our weak spots are. Oh boy, she knows what our weak spots are. And she beckons, come and enjoy me. Come and enjoy me. And the devotee has to be very clear in saying, no. This is the declare war on Maya. No. I only want Krishna. Then you get Krishna. Srimati Radharani sees, oh, he or she, they really want Krishna. Let me help them. And then we feel the soft, encouraging, caring hand of Radharani helping us come to Krishna. And then we know it's not just me, it's this internal potency, Srimati Radharani, beloved of Krishna, is helping. And ultimately that's what we want anyway. We want this loving exchange. Not just get away from the things we don't like. We want loving exchange with Krishna and his internal potency, Srimati Radharani. That's our life. And there's a price. It's faith. And with that faith, we go on with the hearing and chanting, and the bhakti grows. And we can reach Krishna. Okay, so we'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.